Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, and we're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Up early, most of you sleeping while we were listening to the presidential press conference from Singapore. Of course, a joint declaration was signed by President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, saying the U.S. is committed to providing security guarantees to the North. The cliche, the devil in the details, the president seems very confident that this deal will lead to denuclearization and even talking about an eventual visit to the White House from Kim Jong-un.
That's right, David. All of those things we suspected were going to happen. You know, Malcolm Nance came on our show, as you remember, and said denuclearization was not going to happen. Well, the meeting has happened, and the president stood up there after signing a very brief communique and took all kinds of credit and said this is the beginning of a process and all the rest. There were some very tough questions from reporters, including one from NBC, who asked, this is one of the great dictators and one of the people who has killed his relatives, and what about this? And he made protestations about how he really liked him, and he talked about what this brief and not substantial communication that they both signed was all about. It didn't look to me like this was a breakthrough, because we have seen the Koreans go through this kind of thing in the past, in which they make assurances and then they just don't do them. He gave a lot of credit to Pompeo, the Secretary of State. He gave a lot of credit to everybody around, South Korea, China, everybody else. Nevertheless, as you say, David, the devil is in the details, and the details just aren't there. So we knew what he had to say, which was he had to take credit for having done this, and he wants to make it clear he was not being snookered. But there's going to be a lot of people who think that he certainly didn't get done what he said he was going to do, which was complete denuclearization right from the get-go.
The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, Alan, kicked off a bus tour yesterday on his red flag gun protection bill. The appearances today in the Hudson Valley and then across New York will cement his idea that we can help with the issue of school safety and guns by allowing teachers, school administrators, and others to prevent school shootings by pursuing a court intervention.
Well, that's right. A court intervention in this case would mean if somebody is deemed dangerous, there'll be a way of getting guns away from them. David, in my opinion, this is the strongest thing this governor has done right from the beginning. His SAFE Act was a gutsy move. Of course, in New York, where people really do oppose guns in a way that does not exist in some of the more red states, it's a good strategic political move. Nevertheless, if I'm giving him credit for anything that he's doing, I would say this is his strongest area. And they poll, they know that this is very important. David, I was struck by something else. I read in the paper that President Obama has met with several people who were thinking about running for president in the United States. And the paper said, and Andrew Cuomo was not one of them. That doesn't mean he can't run, doesn't mean he needs Obama to lay hands on him, but it is interesting that he has a long way to go before he can be president of the United States.
Well, you've talked about the Supreme Court as the potential for its own political body, another 5-4 ruling we see, this time on purging voter rolls, Alan. The case comes out of Ohio, and it certainly clears the way, as many are suggesting, for states to take a tougher approach to maintaining those voter rolls.
I've always said it, David, the way that it's been working has been that the red states, the Republicans, want to limit participation at the polls. This is another way of doing it. You make all kinds of rules that make it harder for people to vote. And the Supreme Court of the United States is obligatorily paying feasance to the right-wing side of things. They have plenty to hide behind here, and they can talk all they want about the sanctity of the voting rolls and everything else. But in the end, we all know what this is about.
New filings, Alan, from the Washington Post, show that the president's daughter, Ivanka, and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, have made at least $82 million in outside income last year while serving in the White House.
When the history of all of this is written, it is going to basically say that this is one of the most venal administrations of all time. We have a president who sits there, he won't release his taxes. We have his son-in-law and daughter making out, well, like the proverbial bandits. That's a lot of money. We have an emoluments clause in the Constitution, which I think is largely being ignored. We have ethics people on committees and people giving their opinions, and they don't give a damn. And in the Latin American dictatorships that we see and around the world, where presidents and others have done so well financially, and we find out later that they were feathering their own nests. So what's so different about this?